Ether Logic Radio with your host, Tom Morasso. Ether Logic Radio, where science meets spirituality. Expand your consciousness or blow your mind right here, right now.
All right, welcome to another edition of Ether Logic Radio. My name is Tom Morasso with BornToManifest.com. And today my guest is Barry Carter. And Barry teaches people about something called Ormus. His website is SubtleEnergies.com. And that's SubtleEnergies.com. He also teaches online with about 80 local and global Ormus discussion forums where people can talk with other people who have made it or are using it and have had some experiences with it. And then they discuss what's going on with it. He also does lectures and workshops teaching people what Ormus is, how to make it, and how it works. Welcome, Barry. How are you today?
I'm just great, Tom. How are you?
I am doing great, and I'm excited to have you with us today. So let's just jump right in here, and why don't you just tell everybody what we're talking about? What is Ormus?
Well, it turns out that there's a number of minerals that occur in nature, and these minerals have very helpful properties for all biological life. They seem to be the connector between spirit and matter, if you could put it that way.
Okay.
And as such, they seem to help plants and animals and people to do better.
Okay.
We've seen, for example, with plants, we've seen a doubling of growth. And since most everybody I know eats food, and most food, whether it's plant or animal food, starts out with plants, plants probably, growing more plants is probably going to be really helpful.
Sure, and I was looking around your website, and some of the articles there, you had some interesting pictures, one being the walnut, the average size walnut you see in the grocery store, and then the one grown with Ormus, and it's about double the size. So we're calling this mineral spirituality Ormus.
Yeah, we think it's a new state of matter or a newly discovered state of matter. There are indications that this has been known for thousands and thousands of years, maybe tens of thousands of years. But we're just sort of rediscovering it and applying science to it. Go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, why don't you let our listeners know how you first came upon it?
I had a friend named Jim. In 1989, 1990, Jim got his hands in some water that had been ozonated. It was mine wastewater, and it was really nasty wastewater material. And he got his hands in it, and it shocked him. And when he opened his hands, after he let go of the pipes that he was holding, trying to tighten up some coupler on the pipes, when he opened his hands, fibers of gold came out the backs of his hands.
Wow.
Now, this seemed a little bit unusual to me. And some of the fibers were an inch long. And this really puzzled me, and I wanted Jim to experiment with it a little bit more. He was making ozone generators at the time, and we thought this maybe could clean up mine waste material, and maybe see he was getting more gold out of the charcoal briquettes that he was using to clean up the mine waste water.
Uh-huh.
after he put the ozone in it. He was getting more gold out of the center of the charcoal briquettes than they were getting out of the mine.
Huh.
And this just didn't make any sense. What's going on with this gold? And I wanted Jim to experiment more with it, but he didn't want to have anything to do with it.
Freaked him out.
Totally. Yeah. He when he went to the doctor, he wasn't feeling good after this. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you have, I think it was four times the lethal levels of lead and arsenic in your system.
Wow.
Get your affairs in order. You've got 2 weeks to live. Because, you know, doctors like to give you things like 2 weeks to live, things like that. And Jim didn't know what to do. He was living in Salt Lake City at the time, and he moved back to Oregon. And he actually moved in with his parents for a while. But they couldn't take care of him because... strange things would happen around him, and finally he ended up living with his business partner, who was a lawyer in Portland, Oregon. And Jim was just sleeping 22 or 23 hours a day.
Jeez.
I mean, he was basically, I think he was going through a detox.
Mm-hmm.
Something, the lead and the arsenic obviously were killing him. But something kept him alive. And this went on for about 18 months.
Oh, my God.
So the second time the doctors told him, you've got 2 weeks to live, which was toward the end of the 18 months, Jim didn't believe them as much as he did the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And about this time, I finally really got acquainted with the problem, and I'd heard about hydrogen peroxide and how it can have a cleansing or detoxification benefit for people, and I suggested that he try some of it, and he did. And
ingest it, you mean?
Yeah, he just put a few drops in a glass of water. And this isn't the hydrogen peroxide you get at the store. This is the 35% hydrogen peroxide that, you know, that'll burn you if you get it on your skin. I mean, this is real serious hydrogen peroxide. And so he did, and within about 2 weeks, he was up and about and feeling pretty good. So it helped him to get rid of the lead and arsenic and other toxins in his body. And so, the thing is, something kept him alive, and we didn't have any idea what it was. You know, it was like, what was trying to kill you? Why did all this gold show up? What was trying to kill you? And why is it that you're still alive after they gave you 2 weeks to live? This was just really strange.
Mm-hmm.
Then Jim and I both told this story to various people, and one of the people, a friend of mine named Richard, sent me an invitation to a presentation by a guy named David Hudson. David Hudson was talking about these substances that had unusual properties. He said that these substances, if you dried them out in the sunlight, they disappear in a flash of light. Well, Jim had told me that this stuff that he was working with, if you dried it out in the sunlight, it'd disappear in a flash of light. And he was saying, Hudson was saying that under certain circumstances, that it would levitate away from your hand.
Wow.
You could reach for it and it'd be gone. Well, Jim was had told me about something he called fly ash, which he called it fly ash because it'd fly away. And this was one of the things that he'd noticed with the water after it had been through the charcoal briquettes, that the stuff that made it through would sort of form a gel. You'd dry the stuff out and it'd float away from your hand. You couldn't catch it. And all of this is on my website. And so Jim was still living in Portland at the time. This was 95. And so I invited him and he and I and Richard and somebody else, I'm not sure who, went to this David Hudson lecture. And David Hudson was talking about these magical minerals he called orms. He called them orms. He thought that they were orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. And he thought they were monatomic because these were literally the precious metal elements in a non-metallic form.
Uh-huh.
They wouldn't join with each other. They wouldn't connect with each other in any way. But they had very unusual properties, like they'd float away.
Mm-hmm.
Their weight would change. They would get lighter over time under certain circumstances. And David Hudson actually patented these elements, or this form of matter, this type of element. And in his patents, he didn't claim that they were monatomic. He just claimed that in the name. Now, we don't think that they're monatomic. We think that they're diatomic or clathrates or something else entirely. They seem to be single unit elements. However, monatoms or diatoms are very small clusters of atoms. And so instead of calling them orms, David Hudson also suggested a term called ORMUS, O-R-M-U-S. And this wasn't an acronym for orbitally rearranged monatomic elements. So we thought, well, why don't we just use that term? He suggested it. I think it's pretty useful to use a different term, at least one that he suggested, that isn't an acronym so that people don't get confused. We don't want, kids going to school in the future will read that acronym and think, well, they've got to be monatomic, but we don't know. We don't want to prejudice science in that regard.